Hey, it's Don Coscarelli, filmmaker. I just wrote a book. Check it out. It's called Fiction, Tales from the World of Phantasm. And it can teach you all the things that you never knew about the Phantasm film series. A lot of interesting stuff. Horror, violence, not much sex. Check it out. Now available on Amazon, paperback, and Kindle.
This is The Gala Show. I'm your reporter on the beat, Gala Avery. On this episode, you may know my guest as one of the hosts of the podcast Unspooled, a lover of cats, or maybe as a film critic who has written for KPCC's Film Week, MTV News, LA Weekly, New York Times, Variety, Washington Post, The Guardian, Box Office Magazine, Wall Street Journal, Village Voice, The Guardian. God, the list goes on and on. But here on The Gala Show, I know her as that chick who hates Three Musketeers candy bars, Amy Nicholson. Hey, Amy.
Hello. I stand by that.
I think you might be right. I kind of like it, but I'm not eating sugar anymore. So if I was going to eat a candy bar, I'd eat a Butterfinger.
Oh, you're a Butterfinger girl.
I'm a Butterfinger girl. Or a Payday.
Now that's just kinky.
I know. I feel like I'm like an old lady. I'm like an old lady. Before we bring up the topic for today, I have a question for you. What was the movie that got you inspired to begin writing actual film criticism?
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to sound like an old lady. The movie that I would say definitely turned me on was, I'm going to say the Busby Berkeley movie Footlight Parade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other one you were going to say?
I was also going to say Pennies from Heaven, which is my all-time favorite movie of all time, but technically I saw Footlight Parade first.
Yeah, and so your favorite movie isn't always necessarily the one that makes you want to criticize things. Or not criticize, but like be analytical about stuff.
I know. I'd probably write like I've always said I want to write a book on Pennies from Heaven. I'm talking about the Steve Martin Pennies from mm-hmm. Heaven, because I just think every single shot in that movie is perfect, and I would like dig into it and argue it to pieces. And my life goal when I leave this earth is to convince people that Pennies from Heaven is a masterpiece.
I actually haven't seen it, so I feel like now is like the time I'm going to watch it.
Oh, I'm going to work on you. I'm going to work on you. Like that Pennies from Heaven is such a good movie that when I saw it for the first time, I had just gotten into a fight with my boyfriend and I paused it 20 minutes in and called him and said, come over. And we made up because I just needed him to watch that movie with me.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
That's so romantic.
Ancient boyfriend in college.
Okay,
hi,
ancient
Robert.
Boyfriend.
Hope
yeah,
you're
ancient
well.
Boyfriend. But still, incredibly romantic. Yeah. It had the power to heal.
It did. But Footlight Parade, musical with Jimmy Cagney. When I watched that movie for the first time in college, like on a big old screen in Oklahoma, you know, they would show old movies in our old movie theater on campus. Mm-hmm. And I learned that not only was it just the most spectacular I'd ever seen, and suddenly like Coen Brothers things and everything suddenly made sense, that my teacher was like, and notice that there's FDR, notice that they're talking about the National Recovery Administration, notice that like Hollywood and politics and the world are just completely connected. And I'd never thought of it that way, honestly.
Wow.
Like
and
it sounds kind of naive.
Time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there are movies also, like for me, it's like, sometimes people tell me like the first time they watch a movie and they realize that like it's not real.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like that. Like when you start doing film criticism, it's like, well, here it's like there's all these layers to movies that aren't just the movie.
Exactly.
It isn't just enjoyment.
Exactly. Like I grew up in a town that our critic rated things with jalapenos. Like how spicy was it? So I didn't really realize that movies
that.
Were more than like, I love Home Alone. I've seen Home Alone 6 times. It just, that was really where it clicked for me.
Yeah. But like the spicier, the better, I guess. Now, as always, my guest gets to bring their topic to the mic. Amy, what are we going to be talking about today?
Okay, well, Gala, you know that I thought about this a lot.
I was
sending you so many messages like, should we talk about this? Should we talk about this? Like, I love talking movies with you. You're such a fun person to talk movies with. So I was thinking, should I talk movies? And then I thought, well, all I do is just write about movies all the time. And like, you know, it's there.
We can talk about movies anytime.
Yeah, they're there. So I was like, what if I talk about something that I also spend so much time thinking about on a screen, you know, because I'm obsessed with screens. What do you do? And so I thought for a while, like, oh, should we talk about cat videos and like the world of cat videos?
We
and
could
then,
talk about those for so long.
So long. And then I thought, I was thinking about cat videos and you so much that I had a dream about cat videos last
really?
Night. I dreamed up a meme that I was excited to talk to you about. I dreamed that I was watching a meme on Instagram where like, you know those carnival wooden stand-ins where you put your face in and you're like, I'm a scarecrow. Yeah. I had a dream that it was like one of those, but it was made to look like a roller coaster, and all the holes were where people would be sitting in the roller coaster.
Yeah.
And there were cats in all of the holes. And in the video, all the cats got up at the same time and slid.
like a roller coaster.
Yeah. And in my dream, I was like, oh, I should tell Gala that sliding cat videos, that's one of the best genres. And I woke up and I was like, what am I thinking about? So we're not going to talk about cat videos because I clearly lost my mind. We're going to talk about basketball because all I do is watch basketball if I'm not watching movies. But first, time for a commercial break.
I might be vegetarian, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy a good spice rub. My favorite place to get them is Smoked Bros, a veteran-owned and operated business that sells premium handcrafted dry rubs, spice blends, and seasonings. Psst, guys, you can even put it on your popcorn. My favorites are Honey Badger, because he doesn't give a bleep, and Jelly and Peanut Flavor Topping, because some things just taste better together. The website even has recipes, so go check out smokedbros.com to support a veteran-owned and operated business and fill your cabinet with delicious flavor.
And we're back.
You heard it here, guys. We're going to be chatting basketball. So I have 30 minutes on the clock and our time starts now. Okay, so as someone who doesn't watch basketball, why basketball?
Oh, you mean you're a person I can talk to about maybe convincing to watch basketball?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so here's my deal. I didn't grow up watching sports at all. Those who know me know that like my sport in the Olympics in my house is MTV's The Challenge. I've watched like all 30 seasons of it. I know everyone, like Johnny Bananas, like what he did to Sarah like 15 seasons ago, and he brings it here and he's like, I've never cheated anyone in my life. Yes, you have, Johnny. And I saw it on TV. So like that's like my Olympics at home. And then I'm kind of like a chameleon. Like when a guy I'm dating really likes a sport, I get really into it. Like I dated this guy who liked baseball and I kind of like baseball now. I don't know. I would go to a game, I guess. But yeah, talk to me about basketball. Like, why do you love it?
Well, I love it, I think, for a lot of the reasons you love the challenge. Like once you start watching a sport and you learn all the characters, you learn all their players, you learn their kind of moves. And I don't just mean their moves on the court. I mean like how they play, the personality that they play with. It is like every day you're watching a movie that is all of your favorite genres at once. It's like a war movie. It's an action film. It's a drama. It's a comedy starring your favorite cast of characters. And they do it four nights a week. And it's always different. And you're just seeing these people that you know and you love. And you're like, that's the guy who acts like the hero but screws up in the big moment. That's the underdog that nobody takes seriously, but sometimes he'll pop out. That's the guy I'm like, oh, he's an idiot. I don't know why we have him on our team. But you know, he did a good thing for that one little play. God bless him. Go back to the bench. And they're just, it's always renewing. And you get to know the people on your team so well.
When I talked to this actor, Sam Benjamin, and he talked about WWE, or actually just professional wrestling in general. And one of the things that he brought up to me that was really interesting, because he made wrestling seem really interesting to me, but was the fact that like with social media now, you get like a real life view into the player's life. So like, does that affect like how you feel about the players on your team? Like the persona they put out on social media?
Oh, it definitely does. Like there are players that I'll love a lot, but then when I see their social media, it's so dorky.
Yeah, because like really dorky.
Yeah, like NBA players, they go through these evolutions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll use one that I think is very big on the Lakers right now.
Is Lakers your team?
The Lakers are my team.
Okay,
the Lakers
good are because that's like LA, right? I hope. Yeah, I'm right. Okay, good.
Oh, absolutely. And it took me a while to get to the Lakers, which we could go through if you want later. Yeah, that's sure. A very long story of how I wound up as a Laker fan. That's like dating to me. Was like finally winding up a Laker fan, really? Like falling in love.
Like you fell in love with the Lakers. You got married to the Lakers.
Kind of did. Yeah, it's one of the main things. Actually, my current lovely boyfriend and I have in common is we're both massive Laker fans.
That's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We love having this in common.
Yeah. So they're dorky on Instagram and they go through like evolutions.
They do. Like the player that I'm thinking of right now is this guy named Austin Reeves, who's kind of, he has such an interesting story. And part of why I love Austin Reeves is he went to my college. He went to the University of Oklahoma. So we can claim like a tiny little stake in him. You guys
have like that like kind of like similar thing then.
Yeah. I understand him. He came from Arkansas and mm-hmm. then he went to Oklahoma. And I'm like, I get you.
Are you from Arkansas Texas. Originally?
Texas. Yeah. But, you know, we wound up in Oklahoma. And he shows up, you know, in the NBA undrafted. Nobody picks him to like out of college. So they underdog. Join their team. Underdog. Signs with the Lakers. Is put on kind of this G League team, where sometimes if you sign somebody and you're not sure how good they're going to be, they do dual duty. They'll play G League games, which is like rinky dink. And then if they think you're good, they'll move you up to the real team. Or sometimes you'll kind of play both. Mm-hmm. But it's like almost practice NBA,
yeah.
basically. Yeah. So we thought he was going to be a G League guy. He played with some G League games during the summer. And then he just had so much promise that we took this kid who looks like a real dork. You know, he's got like long, shaggy bangs. He looks like Cameron and Ferris Bueller's Day Off is
okay.
what he looks like.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we put him on actual Laker games and he's just been fantastic. He plays so hard. He plays in a way that I love where like he's not the biggest guy. He has no visible muscles that I've ever seen. No tattoos.
So like so lanky, dorky. Lanky, dorky guy.
Lanky, dorky guy. But he plays with just passion. Like he'll dive for the ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He'll risk busting his knees to dive for the ball. He'll like, he's the guy who is willing to take like the 3-quarter shot right before halftime at the buzzer and be like, maybe I'll fail. Who knows? And sometimes he'll make it. And it's just unreal.
Oh, my God. And you really want to root for him to make it.
Oh, you
hi,
do.
Kitty. Oh, there's a kitty. Oh,
my
cat
boyfriend's
here.
Cat just showed up. Hi. That's spooky.
We're both cat lovers, obviously, from our cat video. Hi. Are you going to say hello on the microphone?
She's a sweetie. For context, she's a little black Maine Coon with one tiny white spot on her belly and the biggest tail on the planet.
Yeah, she has a huge tail. She probably smells my cat. I just adopted a cat, as I told Amy when I walked in.
Mischief.
Mischief.
Oh, happy mischief.
It's funny. When you were talking about the basketball on the team, I noticed that you were saying we put him out. We like put him on the thing. We thought he was going to be G team. And I think that's really interesting that like you're almost identifying like we the people.
Wow.
We the fans.
I was doing that.
Yeah. I think that's really, because it's almost like the Lakers are a team, but like the fans are the ones like rally behind the team. So like we did that with him.
That must be so much of the psychology of why I love it.
Yeah.
Like when you become a fan of like your local team, and I'll say it Lakers like it's like default, but like wherever you're living, like if you're like a hardcore Charlotte Hornets fan, mm-hmm. God bless you, by the way, if you're a hardcore Charlotte fan. But like, yeah, that sense of this is our team. They represent us. We love them. When they succeed, we succeed with them. And when they fail, they fail with us. Oh, and I was saying part of why I think Austin's so dorky is like his whole social media. It's like, hi, I'm brand new to this. I never had money in my life. Sure, I'll hawk a branded water or underwear. And it's like kind of embarrassing for him. You're like, you didn't write that caption. And I don't think you care about that sock brand. And you're just like, oh.
He's just trying his best, though.
Yeah. And it's like, you're a little embarrassed for him. Or right now, Austin Reeves is doing billboards for things. If you see them around town, they're called Lemon Daddy.
Oh, like, yeah. Okay. I have
you seen Lemon Daddy?
Of course I've seen Lemon Daddy. I live in LA. Lemon Daddy's everywhere.
Yeah. Lemon Daddy, I guess, is a lawyer.
Who, yeah. I think for cars that are lemons. Like when you buy a lemon, you go to Lemon Daddy.
Yeah. And Austin Reeves is like the face of Lemon Daddy Law Firm. And it's just, what does he have to do with cars? What does he have to do with lawyers?
I mean, I assume he drives one, maybe.
I guess he drives
one. And maybe
one.
He needs a lawyer every now and then.
I would hope so. I was like talking about the Lemon Daddy billboards on my Instagram, and like a guy reached out and he's like, I designed the Lemon Daddy billboards. So I was like, tell me everything.
What did he say about like, it?
He said they wanted a 90s feel. And he never understood even what Austin Reeves is doing on a Lemon Daddy billboard. But he was like, you should see their original mock-ups. They're so embarrassing. These are at least slightly better. But yeah, Lemon Daddy.
I know.
Like, I love this man, and he's also Lemon Daddy. The complicated feelings you get when you become a real basketball nerd.
When did you first get into basketball? Like, is it a lifelong thing, or was this kind of into adulthood?
It is, yeah. Like, when I was a kid, I grew up in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
So our team is the Spurs. So growing up, like, my dad worked for a law firm, and the guy who owned the law firm had season tickets that were really good, and he didn't go that much. So we always used his tickets.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks to that guy.
Yeah. Thank you, Pat Maloney Sr. Yeah, so we've had kind of seats like third row behind the media bench growing up for Spurs games. And so I spent my whole life going to Spurs games with my dad. And this is like the David Robinson era.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were always bad. And then they started to get really good, which was so exciting.
But yeah, because it's like your team that like you're like you're with even in the dirt and the grime and like when they're at their lowest and all of a sudden they start to ascend and you're ascending with them.
Yeah. And they mean so much to us. Like the Spurs logo was the Spurs Coyote and he's he's basically Wile E. Coyote. Like you just take Wile E. Coyote and put like a jersey on him and you're like, it's the Spurs Coyote. Sure.
He now plays basketball.
Exactly. And he was like, he goes to everything in San Antonio. He's always at your school.
Really?
You know, he's in the parades.
Oh, I guess the parade. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the players would do Taco Bell commercials or no, not Taco Bell. Oh my God. What's slander? They would do Taco Cabana commercials. Yeah,
don't mix those two up. That's you're gonna get some angry yeah. Taco Cabana fans.
Exactly. And then like I'm not athletic, you know, couldn't slowest running the mile pretty much my whole life.
That was kind of like me too. Yeah, you I too? Was. I was not. I did equestrian, so I was a horse girl for a while. I competed in that, and I wasn't very good at it, but I loved it. And then I did swim team, and I love to swim, but I'm also not very athletic and good at it. Recently, I found rowing, and I'm really into rowing. I hit like a million meters rowed, and whoa. Yeah, it's all indoor though. But like, it's like a soul cycle, but with rowing at Row House. I'm gonna plug my rowing place, but I love it. I'm addicted. It's like the one sport I finally found that I'm really whoa. Into.
I love that you do that. I like yeah. thought very seriously about trying to buy a rowing machine in early you should, pandemic you and then they're all sold out. You should
try to maybe go to a Row House class.
I think I'd like it.
They have them all over Southern California and in Texas. And mm-hmm. yeah, apparently in the big college town in Texas, they have one. And like all the rowers go there and they're like row really fast. I feel like I have to go there to find like a husband or something.
I mean, I feel like I like sports where you think you're learning something that you could maybe use.
Yeah. The thing about rowing that I really like, not to take too much of a detour, but like it looks like it's all upper body, yeah. but it's 85% lower body. Whoa. So it's just your legs. And so you're just like using your legs really and your abs and your arms are like a very small percentage of it. And so there's like a whole learning curve. And for me, it's like really meditative because you do it to the beat of the music. And then all of a sudden I'm just like churning. And then I think I'm a Viking or something. Like,
oh, like you're selling through. Me.
I know.
It's like Spartacus.
Yeah, yeah. My dad rows with me sometimes. Like we go twice a week together. And yeah, it's like when he does it, he's like, I'm on the water. Like I'm a Viking. Like, oh, we're going to battle. So, so you were a Spurs fan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Now I'm just like, I'm really thinking like, God, I need a rowing machine.
Go to a class. Okay. Go to a class. It's like inspiring. When you okay. go to a class, it's like you get really, it's, my dad almost says it's like a cult because you get really into it. Like I'm going tomorrow night, I'm going to go to someone's 2 million meter party. On Friday, I'm going to like the 500,000 member appreciation row. Like they get, like my row house gets really into it.
That's beautiful.
I love it. It's, I joined, when my ex cheated on me, I joined yeah. row house to like find row something
that man
new.
Out of my system.
Yeah, basically I'm going to row that man out of my system and to like find something better for me. And I feel like I did. I feel like I found like a really nice group of people. They are all mostly women in their 50s and 60s, but I get down with it. I like it. I like them. They're awesome. So
good for all your rowing team, man.
I know. I love them. They're awesome. Okay, so you were a fan of the Spurs yeah. and you were living in San Antonio.
Yeah. And so in high school, being a completely like unathletic person, I became the basketball team manager for like my all girls Catholic school.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I would note like assists or points or mm-hmm. I would run the scoreboard. I would like run the clock sometimes, mainly just because my friends were on the team and I wanted yeah. to like hang out with them.
Yeah. And also you like basketball.
So. And also I like basketball. Yeah. I was a terrible manager, like terrible manager, terrible. Like I would sometimes forget to turn the clock on and you just don't even want to know. Even if it's just like Catholic girls basketball in San Antonio, Texas, and you forget to turn the scoreboard on, people lose their minds.
They get really into it.
They get really into
it. It's their team.
It's their team. It's their team. And so, yeah, like basketball has just always been my sport. We were a basketball family. Like I don't understand football or baseball.
I don't understand football. My ex was from Texas. And when I went there to go see him, it was like, we were all going out to brunch and I didn't understand why it was so important. And then I realized that there's football on, like all like college football. And I'm sitting there like, how do you guys all understand this sport? I have no idea what's going on. Like, yeah. no clue. Football is not – baseball, I could get into baseball. But I probably just because it's all American, I think. Maybe I'll get
that.
Into basketball now. Maybe I will.
I would like to convince you. And I would like you to be a Laker fan and not a Clipper fan. People are going to try to make
no,
you
no,
a
no.
Clipper
if
fan.
No. If I was – if I'm going with like a – Clippers are also Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. They
no,
are,
if
yeah.
I was an L.A. fan, I would be a Lakers fan. Because, well, one, it's my hometown – to the Mexican food restaurant that I have eaten at since I was a little baby. They have Lakers jerseys up, so I can't aww. Betray them. So if I'm a fan, I'm a Lakers fan.
I mean, I love that. Like, there's something about being a Lakers fan in this town where it feels like you have this handshake just to offer people if you don't know what to talk to them about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at the hardware store, or at the grocery line.
Are you in the hardware store chatting up people about the Lakers?
Weirdly, I am. Yeah, weirdly, I am. Baller Hardware, like going in there being like, so, you see the game last night? Like, it's just, it's a way of breaking the ice. It's the way that I feel like people who, like, used to smoke, that they would say, like, I love smoking because you could make friends that way.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about basketball.
You can share a cigarette and you can share the score and you can talk about it at the water cooler. It kind of equalizes. The manager, one of the managers at the New Beverly, Jeff Smith, he feels that way. What is his, I think his sport is baseball. But when he first came to LA, he started going to games and it like gave him a sense of community.
Isn't it all about that?
Yeah. So I feel like that's like also like with basketball. Like you could literally just like, it's the great equalizer. In Los Angeles.
And like, I don't want to start like an online war or something like that. But sometimes I felt that the art world and the sports world have had this need to take themselves really separately.
Well, yeah. I think about it in school. It's like the jocks versus the drama kids.
Exactly.
It's like from a very young age, we're told like those are the rivalries. Like, oh, the drama kids will get bullied by the jocks. And then the jocks will like be all weirded out by those weird band geeks. It's like that's how it is. So but why would people try to make me a Clippers fan instead of a Lakers fan?
Well, Clippers tends to be, I would say, like the team of the guys who moved here to do comedy.
Oh, no, you know? No, keep me away from them. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like they come and they don't want to be a Laker fan, which I get. When I moved here, I didn't want to be a Laker fan. It was like Kobe era, and I could never get behind Kobe. You know,
you couldn't.
There's something about Kobe I just didn't like. Like, I don't know. Even before the allegations, there's something I didn't like the way he played.
Interesting.
I thought he played a little selfishly. Like, he wasn't my guy, so I was never going to love them when he was there.
That's interesting. It's like you weren't able to connect with, like, the main, I guess I would call Kobe the main guy of the Lakers. I put that in air quotes because it's like, I'm sure the whole team, you need a whole team to play basketball. It's not just one man that like wins the game. It's the entire team. It's like there's assists and they're throwing the ball at you. This is my limited knowledge. They're dribbling.
you're right. Like, all of those are actual words people he's the say
face.
In basketball.
Yeah, he's the face, though, of the Lakers at that time. And so it's really hard to get behind a team if you don't like the face of it.
It really is. Yeah. Like he played so many of his good games with this guy, Pau Gasol, who I could see myself loving Pau Gasol. Like, he's tall, he's Spanish, he wanted to be a doctor. I think he wanted to be like a pediatric surgeon.
Suave.
Yeah. He would like, I think, use his basketball clout to like be able to hang out in hospitals and watch people do surgery. He was also really good friends with, I think, like Placido Domingo or something.
Oh my
God. Yeah, cultured guy. So I would try, but during that reign I was a Thunder fan. Oklahoma Thunder.
And you had so you were from Texas, but you ended up in Oklahoma because you went to college in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So you were an Oklahoma Thunder fan when you went to college.
They didn't start until right when I was graduating.
Okay.
But like the idea of Oklahoma having any national sports team was the most beautiful thing in the world.
Was it the first one?
First one.
Wow.
So it meant everything when the Thunder showed up. And obviously I was going to love the Thunder.
Obviously.
And they're the kind of team that at that time where you can really find yourself falling in love with them, where they had a bunch of young guys who kind of were growing up together on this team. And they didn't have anybody who was a superstar that they then signed. It was like they signed a bunch of people who became superstars. Organic. You know, that's the kind of team that I really
love.
They grew together. And so I rooted for that team so hard. And I hated the Lakers because the Lakers would like, we would always wind up facing off against them for like Western Conference. And I was just like, destroy the Lakers, hate the Lakers, fuck you, Kobe, like all of that. So yeah, the resentment was really there. And then part of the beauty and hate and torture of loving basketball is it's also like a business, you know?
Because players are getting traded. They have to get their salaries. It's like someone gets injured and they get replaced. And like,
exactly.
If the team isn't doing well, it doesn't matter how much you like the guy. It's like, he's got to be replaced.
Exactly. Nothing can stay pure. You know, there's that conflict.
And how often do they like trade people? Like, is that like a thing they do all the time? Or is it like once a year, like we take on new people and like we reformat our team and like trade people? Is that like regular?
There are like, it's kind of two different waves. Like every summer there's a trade deadline. So like, or every summer there's like a trade, there's like a whole trading thing where if you don't like how your team did the year before, you kind of rejigger all of your pieces, which is a thing that I have particularly have struggled with the Lakers is they have had a history in the last couple of years of being like, we're keeping LeBron and AD and everybody else leaves. So it's like I get really attached. I buy everybody's t-shirt, joke t-shirts. Like I have a whole suitcase of like old players' shirts that are memes that no longer make sense, you know? And then they'll trade everybody.
And I have to have people be like, oh my God.
Exactly. Yeah. I have all these Alex Crusoe shirts and like anybody out there nodding in recognition about how important Alex Crusoe was. And then they traded him. We'll understand.
Where did he go?
Chicago Bulls. We're all hoping we get him back.
Like, do you ever I'm guessing no, but like, do you ever like kind of switch your allegiances to a different team because they have like your favorite players now?
I will have a hard time hating other teams. Like that's how I feel about the Pelicans. A lot of our guys, when we got AD, wound up at the Pelicans. Oh, because I should say, I didn't fall in love with the Lakers until we lost Kobe and we had all these scrappy underdogs and nobody cared about us and we lost a lot. And then I was like, perfect.
You love the underdog.
I do. Yeah, I was like, great. Because well, like
your first team's an underdog. The second team was like the first ever like in Oklahoma. Yeah. So they're kind of the underdogs also. And then all of a sudden when the Lakers become the underdogs.
Exactly. Because like signing up to be a Laker fan when we're doing good is just it's like I like Marvel, you know? Oh, I love Marvel. Marvel's great. Captain America's great. It's like it's kind of basic 101. Sure. And yeah. So, yeah, loving them then is too easy. But to love a team when they're losing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I understand, as I said, like with the challenge, like I have people on there that are like, they get put in every single episode, like to go into elimination. And every single episode, I'm like, they're going to do it. And eventually by episode five, they like the fifth elimination there and they have to lose. Like it's a numbers game.
You have to.
It's a numbers game. But it's like, no, I can identify. I think you equating it to that is really easy for me to understand because it's like my sporting event of the year is the challenge.
Exactly. But you're so right that it is all about like, loving these people and finding out their storylines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and also in how they develop their own storylines. I'm not sure if they do that in basketball, but like, do they kind of like, okay, this guy has this kind of image, so we're going to play up on that? Or
they actually, there's been kind of a really interesting development in basketball, especially in the Instagram era, that has been such a great part of that, which is league fits and like league fashion.
Okay.
Because one of the great, oh, this is going to be such a good gateway to get you into basketball. One of the great gateways is like in the Oklahoma City Thunder era. God, I'm so sorry. I keep turning this into like the Socratic lectures. Like in the Thunder era, we had a player called Russell Westbrook who would start showing up at press conferences in crazy ass clothes. He would dress like Sally Jesse Raphael. Like he would have like bright red glasses and shirts with like
Dennis Rodman
fish all over them. Yeah, he was like a new iteration of Dennis Rodman.
I think I've seen this guy on Instagram before because I think they were equating him to like Dennis Rodman for a while. Yeah. And yeah.
He would wear crazy stuff. He had kilts. He was like the first man to wear kilts in the NBA. Like just amazing stuff. Really pushing the fashion. Got mocked for it. But now it's become a whole thing where like when players show up to the games and they do their kind of like tunnel walk into like the locker room, they fucking bring it. They fucking bring it. They wear the craziest fashion. And like you get to know everybody's personality, you know, who's going to wear something avant-garde. We used to have a player called Kyle Kuzma and he always wore clothes by this designer, Rafe Simmons. Do you watch The Great British Bake Off?
Every now and then I used to, and then I've kind of fallen off. But we also love baking.
Yeah,
it's we share our love of baking. I love to bake.
So you know how like Noel Fielding, the British guy, wears crazy stuff?
Yes.
That's Raf Simmons. Like the giant sweaters and like weird bright colors. So this one basketball player would always do it, but he'd wear the even more hardcore stuff. Like sweaters where the sleeves go all the way to your knees.
So he's like, he's like really doing it. Then.
Really doing it. So you get to know who they are. And so you can see them shape their brand. Like when it's a real serious game, sometimes you'll see the players just be like, I'm wearing black jeans and a black sweater because I want you to know I'm taking this seriously.
Wow.
And other times they'll be like, ba-bam. Like last night we had our player, Rui Hachimura, who I just adore, showed up in like glittery pink striped sweater that's like 900 colors, but also red paisley pants, I think they were.
Okay.
An outfit that makes no sense. And you're like, bless you, Rui. Like, go for it.
So how do the older generations of basketball fans feel about this kind of change?
I think they kind of love it. Because, like, in the history of basketball, there was a moment when David Stern was our commissioner. I think this is, like, late 90s, early 2000s. And he was being a little bit racist. And he was like, I don't like our players showing up in streetwear. Like, a lot of the history of basketball, which is just the books of Jeff Perlman, who wrote like Showtime and like which became the show Winning Time, they go through like kind of this like history of corporate people, nerds like David Stern, trying to figure out how to sell as many seats as they can to basketball. And going to the history where, like, in the 70s, people didn't watch basketball because they didn't, they thought, they didn't like that there were so many, like, black athletes on TV, in essence, which is gross. Mm-hmm. So David Stern.
I'm glad we've moved past that.
Yeah.
I hope we've moved past that.
I hope we've moved past that. But David Stern was like, I don't want these guys showing up in, like, Tommy Hilfiger. Like, I don't think it makes the league look good. So he instituted a rule where everybody had to wear suits. And that was, like, the... It was, like, so dorky. Like, people just wearing these, like, giant suits looking really uncomfortable.
Like the zoot suits?
Yeah. It that, like, not feeling like they were expressing themselves. And it was, like, really ham-fisted and insulting. But so if taking ownership of fashion has kind of felt like the players are now back in control.
Yeah.
You know? It all becomes part of the story.
And also, if you've loved a player for a long time, to learn more about them is, like, what you want. Like, before Instagram, I'm sure there were magazines that people would read about their favorite players and interviews, and you'd, like, cut out the pictures and paste them on your wall.
Exactly.
And be like, this is my favorite player, and I just learned that his favorite color is blue. And it's like, and you get all excited because it's your favorite player. It's also, I think it's really something, like, special because it's something that, like, I don't know, like, you can just, as you said, like, you can bond with anyone about basketball. Like, you can bond with, like, that guy down the street about basketball, or, like, the lady that, like, works at the bodega. Do we even have bodegas in LA? I don't think so. I don't know where I'm pulling the word bodega out of. Like, the lady that works at 7-Eleven. I know, it's bodacious. Or, like, but also, like, you and your dad. Like, that was really sweet that, like, he took you, and, like, it's a lifelong love that you kind of got from him.
It really is. Like, my dad was there when he took me to a game that was, like, Larry Bird's last season. Where Larry Bird, when a player knows that they're retiring, it's like a huge deal. And you're like watching them play in your court for the last time. And he remembers me like running off the court to like try to hit Larry Bird on the back and say like, good game. But I was short and he's tall, and I like smacked him on the ass and ran away. And my dad saw that. And like, I like that he.
That your dad shares that memory of you smacking his butt.
Yeah, my dad actually was the one who really pointed out that I smacked his butt because I was just nervous and didn't know what I was
doing. How old were you?
I think. Gosh, I'm going to guess I was in, like, late elementary.
It's like you barely would have known anyway, like, what you were doing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And Larry Bird, I didn't even know Larry Bird wasn't that nice of a guy. So, like...
Oh, was he not?
No. Now I'm aware that Larry Bird was definitely like, who the fuck was that? But...
Who was that kid that smacked my butt?
Smacked my butt. Yeah, that was me. Sorry, Larry. I'm sure it probably happened a lot, but I was one of them. One of the many kids who smacked Larry Bird. One of the many kids who smacked his butt.
So do you go to the games all the time, like in person, or do you watch on TV mostly?
We mostly watch on TV. We go a couple times a year. Like, I'm really terrified of going to a game and us losing and it just being like the biggest bummer. Like, it's such a sad feeling walking out.
You're really invested.
Yeah, because we keep up with every game. Like, now that it's like movie season for real with like all the Oscars and everything's completely nuts.
And now that like everything is back to kind of quote normal.
Yeah, quote unquote normal. It's like now I find myself, I'll like be listening to the first quarter of a game, driving to a movie. And then as soon as I'm out and the credits rolling, I'll be like, did we win? Did we lose? What happened? You know, last night we saw Napoleon. I was like, oh, we won. And it was just marvelous.
And you saw Napoleon and you won. And like everything's right in the world. It's so funny. When I was dating that guy, like baseball, he asked me to take him. He wasn't a movie guy, but he asked me to take him to the Hollywood Bowl to go see 2001 with the live orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And so we went together and we had a great time, but it was so funny. In the, like before the movie and in the intermission, he put baseball on his phone, like on the radio. And we were like listening on the radio. And I was like, what is this?
It's so wonderful. It's so nice. It's so old timey.
I thought it was great. Yeah. I love that guy. I have nothing bad to say about him at all. He was awesome. I had so much fun learning about baseball and like Jesus Christ and all that frat boy stuff. It was fun.
I love listening on the radio. Like but now I listen to sports radio too. Like after the game, which is just horrible.
Are there sports podcasts like that
over?
So like, do you listen to those a lot?
I do. I have some people that I really love, and I love sports writers. Like as a writer, you know, myself, like so many great writers come out of sports writing. Because when you think about it, if you're just writing, we won or we lost, the verbs you have to come up with to keep that story interesting, like game after game after game.
Because all the games are kind of similar, I'm guessing, in the end.
In the end, there's not... Like, I always say that I hate reviewing comedies. No, hate it, but it's like this, it's hard because there's only so many ways to say funny.
Or I laughed.
Yeah, mirth, jocular, it's all trash. You can't use those words.
No.
Yeah, so it's hard. And I think sports have kind of the same thing.
Well, it's also kind of like covering a battle almost. Like, it's almost like wartime photography or like wartime coverage. It's like because they're like gladiators. Like
they are.
Coming together. They're not clashing like physically. Well, Is there physical contact in basketball?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People getting, like, elbowed in the face on purpose sometimes.
Checked, and, like,
oh, all the time. All the time. And then it's like, is it flagrant? Is it not? Like, punishments depend on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also that element that kind of makes me think of acting. You know, like, I would not say that I'm a very emotionally expressive person.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm going to cough. Is it okay? I'm just going to
make
that. Sorry. And so I'm always amazed by actors because, like, they're going out there and they're like, I am happy, I am sad, I am vulnerable. You know, stuff that I really can't do. But basketball is, like, doing that plus being confident in your physical body, which I am not as a clumsy person. So the idea of, like, I'm going to take this shot, I'm going to run for this ball, and I'm probably going to fall on my ass. People get hit in the nuts all the time on television in basketball. People are, like, busting themselves, running into scoreboards, running into the audience, like, risking humiliation. Because they believe that their body might be able to do something. And if they could, wouldn't that be great?
It's really a lot of belief. Do you ever watch women's basketball or is it like the men's basketball?
This is the thing I give myself a lot of grief for. Is I always want to go to Sparks games during the summer. And I'm always like, oh, I'm too busy. Like, I feel like I won't be a real fan unless I actually get more invested in women's basketball.
It's funny, though. I heard, I think it was Shaquille O'Neal who said this, that if they just lowered the woman's hoop by like 2 feet or like 1 foot or whatever to allow the women to dunk, that the women's basketball league would like take off. He said because people want to come for dunking and they want to see the guys dunk. They like, that's what he said. And they wouldn't lower it. They said like, no, we're going to keep it high. And he just said, look, like the height of the women versus the men. It's just like, if you want people to come watch women's basketball,
let them dunk. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. And I think it was Shaq said that. It could be someone else.
I mean, but to me, I do feel like that is one of the great losses of Kobe dying, you know, which, gosh, like we went to outside, it was Staples then, now we call it the Crypt, like when he died to like watch
crypt,
everybody.
The crypto.com arena.
Crypto.com. You have to just call it the Crypt, otherwise it's like so embarrassing. But like the outpouring of grief was there, but like he was really poised to do something huge with women's basketball. Like he was really supporting his daughter Gigi. He was like, I think, investing in like raising up women's basketball.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things I kind of mourn, is he didn't get the chance to at least do that
to
good
do that.
In the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's upsetting. I mean, let them dunk, though. Let the ladies dunk.
Let the ladies dunk. God, can you imagine if you could dunk?
I could dunk. The power of jumping.
Yeah.
Just the jump they do.
Yeah.
It's insane.
You should watch videos of this kid, Mac McClung. You'd really like him. He was on our G League when Austin was on our G League.
Is he on the Lakers now?
We let him go, which was probably the right move, but I do feel sad. But he won the dunk contest last year.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
That was the fastest conversation I feel like I've ever had. Oh my God. I have to ask before we wrap up. Is there like fantasy basketball league? Like how they have like fantasy football? Like do they do fantasy basketball?
Oh my gosh. You know, I have no idea.
That would be really fun.
That would be really
fun.
Because
like I want to do fantasy football, but put all the hottest guys on my team. See how they play.
Well, I just want you to watch a Mac McClung video, like anywhere.
Mac
watch
McClung,
him because
okay.
He is a kid who looks like he should be selling newspapers in the 1920s, and he's not the tallest guy, but he has so much vertical height when he jumps. It's unreal.
That is unreal.
He is the underdog who can dunk.
And that is all the time that we have for today. But Amy, is there any final thought that you'd like to leave the audience with?
Well, Gala, I kind of want to ask you a question that I've been wrestling with.
Yeah.
Okay. So next to you on the couch, I have a Lakers jersey that I just bought this week. It's their city edition. Every year they have a new city edition. Most people say it's ugly. I think it's pretty cool.
Okay,
I love the font, and I kind of want your opinion on it. For people who can't see it, it's like Los Angeles, but it's written so that Los Angeles forms a triangle, but the N is the highest part of the triangle
the
in Los
N
Angeles.
The N is the highest point?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of great, but do you think my jersey is cool?
Actually, no, I kind of do.
I'm
kind of wondering, though, why they put the N as the highest point and not the G. It feels like the G should be the highest point.
Oh, you're
doesn't
right, because then doesn't the S come down a little low?
Yeah, because it's like not, I think it is equal, but because the space, it looks like it isn't. They should put like a star or something.
Yeah, something to make it symmetrical.
So who is the person that you...
The one
like
that I
on
got is Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves.
He's number 15. I don't love that LeBron's on our team. I think he's a little too popular. I think he sets the balance.
He takes the gravity over.
The orbits a little too much. But Reeves, I hope we're going to keep him for a while. So I thought it was worth investing in his jersey.
I like the jersey. I just wish they would have put a star where the space was or something. Like Los Angeles, we're the city of angels, the city of stars.
Well, thank you. Now I feel more confident wearing it. The tides are still on. I haven't worn it yet.
Anyone who makes fun of that jersey is not a true Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Get them. Thank you, Amy, for coming on to the show. If you'd like to keep up with Amy, you can check her out over on Instagram and Twitter at @TheAmyNicholson. Or you can listen to her weekly podcast along with co-host Paul Scheer on Unspooled, available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gala Avery, and this has been The Gala Show. The Gala Show is brought to you by Insertomatic. This episode was executive produced by Roger Avery and produced by Gala Avery. Music composed by Andy Milburn. As always, I'm your host, Gala Avery. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. Despite me sharing the same last name with this charity, I don't have any affiliation with it, besides the fact the issue is very near and dear to my heart. Did you know that in the United States, 2.7 million children currently have a parent in prison, and it's estimated that 10 million children have experienced parental incarceration at some point in their lives? I was one of these kids, and as an adult, I am really grateful to be able to give back to Project Avery. Their mission is to build leadership from within by supporting community through programs such as mentoring and outdoor education, and also to remove the stigma surrounding having a parent that's incarcerated. You don't have to feel alone. If you know a kid who could use these resources or would like to donate money or time to the charity, please go to Project Avery, that's AVARY.org, to check out what this amazing charity is all about. Again, that's ProjectAvery.org. Thank you guys from the bottom of my heart.